couple of months ago, in June, Saturday Extra spoke with the author and consultant in counterinsurgency, David Kilcullen. You may well remember this in part because the interview was cut short when we lost the line. At the time, General Stanley McChrystal had just been sacked as commander of US and NATO forces in Afghanistan, and General David Petraeus was about to take over. If a week is a long time in politics, and it's pretty clear that it is, 2 months is a hell of a long time in Afghanistan. NATO and its allies have had a very tough summer. Australia has lost 5 more soldiers, bringing the grim total to 21. All of which means it's an apposite time to talk to David Kilcullen again. The former Australian Army officer and advisor to David Petraeus in Iraq is the author of Counterinsurgency, and we spoke earlier in the week.
Nice to be here again.
Last time we spoke to you, David, you were relatively optimistic about what the coalition could achieve in Afghanistan. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, actually, I think that what we're seeing is some changes in what I've been considering the key problems in the campaign for a number of years. You know, I was getting very tired of kind of banging my head against a brick wall about this issue of corruption and about changing the bad behaviour of some key officials in the Afghan government. Dave Petraeus, on taking over, has really put a lot of emphasis on that particular issue and has in fact created a brand new task force under probably the best counterinsurgency officer that we've seen in the last couple of years, H.R. McMaster, who is in fact working very closely with the Afghans on that issue. So I think that's some progress. We've also seen a bit of progress in the village security programs that have been running for about a year or so. That started to improve. So look, I think it's way too early to say how it is going to turn out, but initial indications are that, you know, the changes have been in the right direction, but, you know, a lot remains to be seen.
Now, in Uruzgan, where Australian forces are operating, this month has seen the departure of the Dutch, who were in charge, and their replacement by a significantly smaller group of US forces. How much is that a factor in Australian losses through August?
There are a number of factors, and one of them is that this particular time of year is usually a time of reasonably intense fighting. It used to be called the fighting season. We discourage that term now because the whole year is fighting season in Afghanistan these days, but it certainly is the time of year when casualties do seem to be at their highest. Another factor is that, you know, just there are less troops out on the ground, and so each individual group is at greater risk. Another reason is that the Afghans who the Australian forces have been mentoring and training are actually getting better and are developing more of an active pattern of operations. And so that means that rather than just kind of barracks type training, our guys are actually going out and accompanying them on combat operations. I'd also point out that, you know, we have tragically lost 10 people out of the 21 we've lost in the war so far. 10 of them have been this year. Mm. But of course, 3 of those were accidental, which does tend to distort the numbers.
If I could go back to David Petraeus, who you mentioned has made these changes on rules of engagement and indeed, I think, priorities. He's also tried to leave himself some wiggle room on the withdrawal date that President Obama insisted on.
Well, yes, although like a lot of things that President Obama says, it turns out that there are a number of very different interpretations that are possible about what he himself said. And when he spoke in December of 2009 and laid out the withdrawal timeline, he was very careful not to be too specific about exactly what he was talking about. And I think what we've seen from the administration in Washington since then has been an attempt to create similar kinds of wiggle room. So I think General Petraeus is certainly saying, look, can we do it? Maybe. Can we do it by next July? You know, probably not. We need to be thinking about a longer timeline. But he's not the odd man out in that respect. The president's been saying that himself. So has the vice president, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State. In fact, President Obama recently said, you know, why is everybody so fixated on the timeline? We need to move off of that. One reason is because he said it in a speech. But, you know, that's certainly an issue that we're seeing the administration looking itself for more wiggle room, and General Petraeus is part of that approach.
You're listening to Saturday Extra on ABC Radio National. Richard Ady, sitting in for Geraldine Doogue, and my guest is David Kilcullen, author of Counterinsurgency, advisor to NATO and former advisor to David Petraeus in Iraq. The massacre of the 10 medical workers in northern Afghanistan, it had a lot of shock value, but the Taliban weren't just making a point for propaganda purposes, were they?
No, it did have a very significant impact politically, particularly in the States, because a lot of them were American. We've seen a bit of an interesting pattern with the Taliban over the last couple of months. There have been a number of reasonably high-profile public executions of people. This is something that the Taliban hadn't been doing in public for several years. They'd been trying to paint an image of themselves as being more friendly and sort of, you know, we're not the old Taliban. But we are starting to see things like women being publicly executed for adultery. A pregnant woman was shot in public just a few weeks ago. We've started to see these executions, like the execution-style killing of these aid workers, and a number of other incidents like that. It's a bit hard to know exactly what we're looking at here, whether we're seeing signs of an increase in confidence on the part of the Taliban or rather a bit of desperation. I think it's probably a little bit too early to tell. It's only a couple of months that we've started to see this pattern.
There have been stories about the idea of negotiations with the Taliban. Firstly, how credible do you think they are? And secondly, how likely would they be to succeed?
I think they're extremely credible. This book that I just recently published, I take a look at 386 examples or so of counterinsurgency since the end of the Napoleonic Wars in 1815. And one of the patterns that emerges is that negotiation is usually how successful counterinsurgencies end. There's nothing wrong with negotiating. In about 80% of cases, that's how you do win these things. But you've got to be negotiating from a position of strength. And you have to be negotiating about the real issues and grievances that are driving the insurgency. In the case of Afghanistan, I think I would consider it to be more or less inevitable that in the next couple of years we will find ourselves in some kind of negotiation process. That could be a local level reconciliation issue. It could be an attempt to win over local commanders more to the coalition or government side. But I also wouldn't rule out direct talks with leadership of the Taliban. I think that's certainly the way that political thinking in Washington and a number of coalition capitals, and also, of course, in Kabul with President Karzai's government, I think that's the way that a lot of the thinking is trending.
Just on Hamid Karzai's government, in your book, you make the point that the precise approach any particular government takes to defeat an insurgency depends very much on the character of that government, making counterinsurgency at its heart a form of opposed or contested governance. What if the Afghan government, which is pretty flawed, just isn't good enough?
Well, you're being very generous there. I mean, it's not pretty flawed, it's hopeless, and it needs a lot of work. And that's why a lot of us have been saying for a number of years, look, the problem here is not that the Taliban are going to conquer the country and take it over. That's not going to happen. The problem is that Afghans are losing confidence in their own government and losing confidence in the international community because of abuses and oppression on the part of local officials and power brokers in the community. And that's creating space and almost generating the insurgency. If we were to deal with every last Taliban guy tonight, but not fix all those other problems, there'd be a new Taliban in another month or two. So that's the heart of the issue. In fact, I've been saying for a while that this is better considered as a stability operation rather than a strict counterinsurgency. And in fact, General Petraeus's guidance, which he issued about 3 weeks ago to ISAF, made that same point. He basically said, look, the Taliban are not the only problem here. There are a lot of reasons why Afghanistan's unstable. The Taliban is one of those reasons, but the government and its behavior and the behavior of certain power brokers and the mafia networks that exist of sort of illegal patronage networks in the Afghan government are critical to that as well. So we've got to be doing a lot more in the anti-corruption area if we want to fix this.
But isn't there only so much that David Petraeus and indeed the whole coalition can do if the Karzai government is so flawed? We may just get to a situation eventually where there's a lot of blood and treasure spilt, but essentially nothing more that can be done.
I think that's a risk, and I think we're going to see some very interesting developments in the next month. And I think, you know, for informed listeners here in Australia, it's important that people understand that the next month is going to see a very significant development in Afghanistan, and that's the parliamentary elections, which are scheduled for the 18th of September. Right now, I don't see many signs that it's going to be much better conducted than last year's presidential election. It's largely run by the Afghans. They're responsible for security. They're responsible for the electoral arrangements. And it's not looking good at this point. So I think we're going to see ongoing discussion about this issue that's really going to center around that new event of the Afghan elections.
You've said in the past, David, that Pakistan keeps you awake at night. How resolvable is the security situation in Afghanistan without resolving the security situation in Pakistan?
I think we can resolve a lot of the security issues in Afghanistan in a short-term sense. But if you want to really deal with the heart of the problem and prevent a recurrence of regional instability, then really the center of gravity is Pakistan. And I think you can think about it in terms of a syllogism, if you like. We only really care about the Taliban in Afghanistan because they make Afghanistan unstable. We only really care about Afghanistan being unstable because it's part of this pattern of instability associated with Pakistan. We really care about Pakistan being unstable because it has 100 nuclear weapons and it has Al-Qaeda headquarters sitting there in the two-thirds of the country that the government doesn't really control. So really the heart of the problem here is Pakistan. And it's not as simple as saying, well, Pakistan's the enemy. We do have enemies in Pakistan, but it's about working with our friends in Pakistan as well to try and stabilise that environment.
David, good to get your insights. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
He is such an interesting thinker. David Kilcullen, he served with the US State Department. He's advised both the Bush and the Obama administrations. These days he's a consultant and author of several books, including Counterinsurgency, which is published by Scribe. And you'll find details on our website, abc.net.au/rn/Saturday Extra.